Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
Hello, Richo.
G'day, how are you, Brent?
Not too bad, mate. You're having lunch at Aria, are you?
I am indeed.
That's a nice restaurant, great location, wonderful, wonderful view and terrific food.
Fabulous, on every count.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the greatest.
Let's face it, mate, I deserve it.
You do, Richo. You deserve it, absolutely. Let me get stuck into it so I can let you go. Anthony Albanese says details about a proposed Indigenous voice to Parliament will not be known before a referendum on the issue. Now, he's changed his tune on that. Even in the last 48 hours, he's now suggested there'll be a little bit more information that is given to us. Graham, how much detail should we, the voter, do you feel, should we be given about the Indigenous voice to Parliament before we vote on it?
Well, in my view, quite a bit. It's a big step to change the Constitution. Very big step. And you don't do so without being armed with as much information as possible. So I think we should educate the public as much as we can.
Do you think it was a mistake that Anthony Albanese voiced last Saturday at the festival when he made the announcement and suggested this would be the question? Do you think it was a mistake that he actually said in the same breath that, you know, there'd be no details?
Yeah, I don't think he worded that brilliantly. we all make the odd mistake. I don't think it's a huge mistake, but it is one.
The swearing-in of Lydia Thorpe made headlines this week when she, carried on like a raw prawn. I mean, it just beggars belief, doesn't it, that these people actually get voted into Parliament? She's there for another 6 years, Graham.
Yeah, that was an appalling performance. The self-indulgence involved there is massive. I thought it was just a disgrace. So I wish her nothing but harm.
I love that. I wish her nothing but harm. That'll make the promo. The New South Wales Premier, Dominic Perrottet, he announced, I think it was Wednesday morning, that's right, that the Deputy Leader, Stuart Ayres, was resigning over the John Barilaro saga. I noticed the Premier said he was resigning, but everyone else has now said that he was actually sacked and not resigned. Graham, do you think that Dominic Perrottet took too long to do this, and as a result of that, it's done him irreparable damage?
Oh, I think he took too long. I don't know about irreparable damage. It mightn't be irreparable, but it's certainly serious. And it's just something that I hope he learns from. You can't dilly and dally with decisions like this. The bigger the decision, the more it might hurt you personally. Probably means the more you should do it publicly.
David Elliott has vowed to strip the Treasurer, the New South Wales Treasurer, Matt Keane, of the portfolio as Treasurer if he wins the deputy leadership of the New South Wales Liberal Party. Look, there's a party meeting room next Tuesday. It's looking, though, Graham, that David Elliott really doesn't have the numbers to get up on Tuesday at this party meeting.
No, I think he's been acting like a bully in a buffet. He was never going to win. If you're never going to win, I can't understand why you make a song and dance about it. If I'm going to lose, I'd like to keep it as quiet as possible. I wouldn't want to advertise.
Yeah, he sort of has a track record of doing this, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's, I think, not the sharpest tool in the Premier's shed.
The Shadow Treasurer, Angus Taylor, says the timing is right to start talking about nuclear energy after the Coalition announced this week it would draft a new policy regarding the alternative energy source. Of course, Barnaby Joyce, he says his party, I think he forgets he's not the leader anymore, Graham, but his party has long been in favour of nuclear energy and it was no longer expensive nor imposing. Angus Taylor said, we want every horse in the race, every technology should be considered. Now look, the Greens have said it's the most expensive. The Greens and Labor Party have said it's the most expensive technology and so on and so forth. Do you think it's time we sat down and had a really serious look at nuclear energy?
I think we're getting there, yes. I think we're getting close to a point where we can't just poo-poo the idea. without giving it serious thought. And so, yeah, the time has come, and I think some people will revise those decisions about the expense, because the expense of nuclear energy is coming down all the time.
Well, look, I said this earlier this week, Richo, and that is, it depends where you sit, which side of the fence you sit on. If you're pro-nuclear energy, you can find statistics and reports to support that. If you're against nuclear energy, you can find statistics and stories to support that as well. But from what I have read, it seems as though, yes, it is an expensive way. It is expensive to build, but once it's built, it's cheaper to run.
That's correct on both counts. And I think it's inevitable that we will start doing it. I can't see how we won't over time. The movement against coal gets greater. And the reality is, if you're not going to have coal, if you get renewables until there's more development in battery technology, and you're left with nuclear.
What do you think of Chris Bowen's announcement that they're going to put out these wind farms off Newcastle Coast and Wollongong Coast? They're going to build these wind farms so that people that have paid millions of dollars for ocean views are going to be looking at windmills.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think you'd need to go well below the horizon to satisfy those people.
Otherwise, there will be an absolute outcry. Labor and the Greens are on a collision course on the future of coal and gas, despite this historic agreement on laws to cut greenhouse gas emissions, setting up a new clash over urgent reforms to existing laws protecting the environment. Of course, at a press conference shortly after Labor's historic climate change bill passed the lower house, 89-55, Adam Bandt was quick to have a crack at the Albanese government's 43% emissions reduction target as weak. I just found this such a strange thing to say when they were supporting it. They helped it get across the line, yet they come out as soon as they possibly can, once it's been passed, and say, but it's weak.
Yeah, but I think it's just yet another example of how Adam Bandt is not up to the job. I think the Greens have to have a good look at Adam Bandt. And if they do, they'll find that they've got to get someone better.
And the sooner the better.
Oh, yesterday would be too late.
I mean, some of the comments that he has made are just completely outrageous. NRL boss Peter Volandis has claimed Dominic Perrottet blatantly reneged on a handshake deal made inside the New South Wales Premier's office earlier this year. This may also ignite discussions between the NRL and Queensland government over the future of the grand final. The NRL has previously suggested the location of the event hinges on the level of investment in Sydney stadiums. Richo, the NRL grand final going to Queensland? Surely not.
No, I think that's something you threaten occasionally when you're wanting a result in negotiations. But I don't think it'll ever happen. The outrage of the biggest number of fans would be very obvious, very loud.
Well, there was an article in The Telegraph earlier this week, quoting legends and their thoughts on, they just are aghast and can't believe that this is even being talked about, moving the NRL Grand Final on a permanent basis from Sydney to Queensland. We understand it happened last year because of COVID, but that was a one-off.
Of course it was. And I hope we don't even have a one-off any time between the now and when I meet my maker. I'd like it to stay in Sydney, and I think that obviously if you've got the most number of fans, you should have the game.
Stuart Ayres has gone. Do you think it will be not too long before he's forgotten? I tell you what, there was an interesting article in one of the rags about he and his wife and how much money in the last 6 months they've lost as a result to their pay packet, to their home budget as a result of losing those jobs. I think it's been halved. I mean, I think they've lost in a year $310,000 in the household budget.
The poor things.
Holy smokes, that's a lot of money to lose in 12 months. Richard, I'm going to let you get back to your lunch. Thank you for stepping out and talking to us. We appreciate it.
Pleasure, mate. Talk to you next week.
Okay, mate. Have a good weekend, Richard.